Welcome to the Christian Ministries Church Podcast. As you listen, we pray God's blessing be over you and that He will empower you with inner strength through His Spirit. Now let's join Pastor Ashley Ellison.
Church, let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. He alone is worthy. Come on. I think a lot of times we fail to recognize the need of Christian brothers and sisters in a life that is temporary. I mean, this is nothing more than a breath and then it's gone. And I'm not preaching a funeral today. What I'm telling you is a lot of times we get caught up on what's going on in our life and we lose sight of how good God is. And we just get caught up on everything that we're facing day to day. I mean, this world is just looking sad. And I'm just done with Christians being that way. See, we've got to get to a place where we realize that life is for us today. If you were here last Sunday, I started speaking on something that I obviously, because I talk a lot, didn't get finished. And I wanted to finish today. And if I don't, I'll finish it another time. But here's what I want you to know. There is a scary thought in the Christian realm of the end of time as we know it. The return of Jesus, if you will. And I say scary because we're putting fearful thoughts into something that the Bible didn't intend for us to put into people. But Christians are doing this. Like, oh, this is horrible. But what I'm telling you is, it's not horrible, it's great. I mean, the end times, to be honest, in church, as I was growing up, it scared me and it put an unhealthy fear in me. And so I'm never going to not teach this because we at Christian Ministry Church have a faith-based response. The return of Jesus is coming. Well, when I would hear that, I'd be like, oh, no, not yet. I need to have grandkids. I got six now. And I'm still going, but not yet. I need to see all them saved. I'm watching my parents be great grandparents. I'm thinking, I want that one now. I mean, I'm not, my grandfather used to say, you know, I'm looking forward to heaven. I'm just not particularly homesick yet. You know why he would say that? Because he was enjoying the life that God gave him to live right now. And as long as we're here, there should be joy in the house. There should be joy in the house. There should be a peace in the house. And right now, as we're living in one of the most unique times in all of history, I want to talk about what the Christian's response should be to the end of time. To the end of time is for the Christian, for the return of Christ. What should our response be? Luke chapter 17, we visited on this last week, verse 26, says, when the Son of Man returns, it will be like it was in Noah's day. Verse 28 of chapter 17 of Luke says, and the world will be as it was in the days of Lot. Chapter 17 of Luke, verse 30 says, yes, it will be business as usual right up to the day when the Son of Man is revealed. My point last week is God made a way of escape for Noah, and he made a way of escape for Lot, and then his judgment came. There is a judgment coming. So let me say it like this. There is a judgment coming. That's the way I was taught. Now let me say it the way I want you to hear it. There's a judgment coming. And because of Jesus, you pleaded out of court. See, how we look at this is putting fear into our young people, and I want our young people to understand Jesus is your way of escape. See, judgment is coming, I get that, and there's a way of escape for Noah, there was a way of escape for Lot, and when the Son of Man returns, there'll be a way of escape for you because there was for Lot and there was for Noah. And see, what you got to know, God doesn't judge the righteous with the wicked. Today, I want to go on with this. There's so much. If you have your Bibles, turn to Exodus. A wonderful demonstration of this. God is releasing his people from Egyptian bondage. And you got to know that judgment is falling on the Egyptians. And right next door are God's people, and they're all being preserved. Right here in the same area. Exodus chapter 12, verse 22 or 21 says, "Then Moses called all the elders of Israel together and said to them, 'Go pick out a lamb or a young goat for each of your families and slaughter the Passover animal. Drain the blood into a basin, then take a bundle of hyssop branches and dip it into the blood. Brush the hyssop across the top and sides of the door frames of your houses, and no one may go out through the door until morning.'" The first time I heard this taught on, and this just hit my head, this wasn't something I even was Tom Underhill speaking on this exact subject. God is saying the lamb's blood will be on a piece of wood that goes up and a piece of wood that goes across. Goes up and goes across. Kill the lamb at 3:00 in the afternoon, the exact time that Christ died for you and I. See a picture of Jesus' death for us. Verse 23, "For the Lord will pass through the land to strike down the Egyptians. But when he sees the blood on the top and the sides of the door frame, the Lord will pass over your home. He'll not permit his death angel to enter your house or strike you down. Remember, these instructions are a permanent law that you and your descendants must observe forever. When you enter the land the Lord has promised to give you, you will continue to observe this ceremony. Then your children will ask, 'What does this ceremony mean?' And you'll reply, 'It's the Passover sacrifice to the Lord, for he passed over the house of the Israelites in Egypt. And though he struck the Egyptians, he spared our families.' When Moses had finished speaking, all the people bowed down to the ground and worshiped. So the people of Israel did just as the Lord had commanded through Moses and Aaron. And that night, at midnight, the Lord struck down all the firstborn sons in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn son of Pharaoh, who sat on his throne, to the firstborn of their livestock, who were killed." I read this and I go, isn't it neat that every time people that were on God's team were seen through? And he gave the exact illustration symbolically of what we have accepted and what we have walked in. There's a side note here. The sons in the land of Egypt from the firstborn son of Pharaoh, I'm just taking a little trail for those of you historian buffs here, that there's a lot of theologians, and there's evidence here that Pharaoh's firstborn boy who died may have actually been King Tut. I don't know if you ever heard of King Tut, but the boy king that died on Passover, neither here nor there. I'm not even going down that road. But some theologians will say that that may have been who that was. And not everyone agrees, but it's possible. Verse 30, "Pharaoh and all his officials and all the people of Egypt woke up during the night. A loud wailing was heard throughout the land of Egypt. There was not a single house where someone had not died. Pharaoh sent for Moses and Aaron during the night. 'Get out,' he ordered. 'Leave my people and take the rest of the Israelites with you. Go and worship the Lord as you have requested.'" God stepped in and separated the children of Israel. Now that's actually the 10th plague. It's been going on for a while, this separation. In fact, in Exodus 8, the separation of the judgments, so many things. Exodus 8, 22, "I will spare the region of Goshen where my people live. 8:23, "I will make a clear distinction between my people and your people." I'm going to separate, God says, my people from your people. Do you realize that right now there are God's people right here walking on planet Earth, and there are people who don't claim and have no symbolism, no walking in their life, no acceptance of Jesus as their Savior? And so they're separate over here. There are God's people and there are not God's people. And what he's saying right here is he says, "I am going to separate them." Now, I think this is really important because there's a day coming that you won't have a choice. God's going to separate. He's already done it. And he did it symbolically for you to understand there's a day where he's going to give you an opportunity to accept Jesus. And if you don't, when he comes, you're separated. There's a separation coming, not because he doesn't give you an option, not because he doesn't want to give you an opportunity. But judgment here, even when it's flowing, God always reaches down and puts a line from to keep his people from getting hit. I just love that. It's cool. It's cool. There is a pattern that we have from the Bible, and it's if it was just one or two places, you might have an argument, but it's everywhere. All through the Bible, when the wrath of God is being poured out and people are being judged, you see a separation. Every time, Exodus 9, verse 4, but the Lord will again make a distinction between the livestock of the Israelites and that of the Egyptians. Not a single one of Israel's animals will die. The Israelite cattle can't die. I like the separation. Exodus 9, 25. It left all of Egypt in ruins. The hail struck down everything in the open field, people, animals, and plants alike. Even the trees were destroyed. The only place without hail was the region where the people of Israel lived. It's the only place. Again and again, Exodus 10, 22. Moses lifted up his hand to the sky and a deep darkness covered the entire land of Egypt for 3 days. During all that time, the people could not see each other and no one moved. But there was light as usual where the people of Israel lived. Just Exodus 11, 6. Then a loud wail will rise throughout the land of Egypt, a wail like no one has heard before or ever hear again. But among the Israelites, it will be so peaceful that not even a dog will bark. I have prayed for just not a dog to bark. Then you'll know that the Lord makes a distinction between the Egyptians and the Israelites. I want you to know peace is yours. As you read this, I want you to know these are not super spiritual people either. They murdered, they complained, they murmured, they were doing bad things. What, really? Yeah, because it was people that were in need of what God had made available to them, but they had still chose God and their leaders, and their leaders are frustrated with them because they're murmuring and complaining all the time. But they were spared because of the covenant God made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's the only reason they were spared. Now, I want to ask you this. If God was merciful to them just because they were a family of Abraham, how much more will he be merciful and show goodness and kindness and preservation to people who started out not being in that family, but chose to enter the family based on what Christ did that we couldn't? How much more? And I can go on, and I'm going to, because some of you are like, Pastor, I got it. Well, hold on, I got a whole lot more. I got your point. I get that, but just listen for a second longer. There's so many Christians living in fear over the end times, and we need to know God has us. We need to know God has us. God always provides a door of escape for people who want to do it his way. Every time. God makes a way of escape. He separates the righteous and the wicked. And the judgment of the righteous doesn't look like the judgment of the wicked. Luke chapter 21. Let me just go because here we got a lot of end time speakers. So let's just go to Luke 21 verse 20. And when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then you will know that the time of its destruction has arrived. Then those in Judea must flee to the hills. Those in Jerusalem must get out, and those in the country should not return to the city. For those will be days of God's vengeance, and the prophetic words of the scriptures will be fulfilled. How terrible it will be for pregnant women and for nursing mothers in those days, for there will be disaster in the land and great anger against this people. They will be killed by the sword or sent away as captives to all the nations of the world, and Jerusalem will be trampled down by the Gentiles until the period of the Gentiles comes to an end. Now, people will say, this is how it's going to be in the end. I got to tell you something. As I have studied and studied over the years, this is not about the end times. But people will use it as it is. This is about Jerusalem falling in 70 AD. And when we have been over there, that's the way it is on all their timelines. This was what happened in 70 AD. The believers who lived in Jerusalem around 50,000. That's a huge church, come on. 50,000 is a huge church. 3,000 at Pentecost, 5,000 later, the church gets bigger and bigger, loads of believers, but Jerusalem's still a doomed city. And he was saying, when you see the surrounding of the city by armies, he's saying, get out. That's what happened in 70 AD. You need to get out. This is not a good place to be. Those who live in the country don't come to the city, which means they didn't. And so they didn't die. Historical record, they fled and they didn't die and they didn't experience the destruction of Jerusalem. They fled to Pella. There's so much here that I'd love to get into, but I'm not teaching on end time prophecy, nor am I teaching on the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD. What I'm teaching on is God made a way of escape. And that's what he did in 70 AD. He made a way of escape for his people. God either separated the righteous from the wicked or he gave them a way to escape the judgment. So in our day and time, what do we do now? Because as we look around, as Christians, we go, man, this has got to be the judgment of God. This is what's happening. So, I mean, I read what happened in Sodom and Gomorrah. I did too. And I know what happened to Lot. See, I can read this stuff and we can be like, well, I don't want to be in that. You won't. I'm trying to give you some hope this morning. Should we then, all right, what do we do right now? Should we be building bunkers and stocking them with food? I hear it all the time and I'm going to address it because I want to teach our people. Should we be loading up with food? Should we be preparing for an EMD device, which will wipe out all the electronics and your new cars won't even. Pastor, I can't believe you're going here. I am. Here talked about. Because this is a likely technological possibility. So what hope can you give me today, Pastor? Because it's getting ready to get bad. I am right now stockpiling ammo. Are you getting ready for battle? It's a good question. But I'm stockpiling. See, all these are real possibilities. So how's God going to pour out his judgment? Do I need to be doing all of this? I'm going to tell you the answer to that is no. Not while the church is still here. Wait, that's our way to get out of all of this. If God told you that, then you need to be shouting it from the mountaintop. I get that. But the fact is, you've got to be looking at Scripture for your answer. Not someone's opinion. I'm not saying that everything's going to be rosy. The scripture does say perilous times will come, so just know. And I'm not saying that there not be some casualties in different positions and different places, but it's not God's judgment on the righteous. And that's what I'm trying to teach today. Scripture ought to speak to you. It's not about what I say, it's about what the Bible says. Matthew 24, verse 36. Scriptures say, however, no one knows the day or hour when those things will happen, not even the angels in heaven or the Son himself. Only the Father knows. If we're going to store up food, build bunkers, store up a bunch of ammo for the big battle. Now, you, Pastor, didn't you say you were doing that? I am, but I like ammo. In order for all of this stuff we'd be storing up to work, we need an idea from Scripture of how long this is going to last. How long do you need to store up food for? I don't know. How long do you need toilet paper? When you run out, you want extra, right? Now I bet most people, just because of what's happened over the last year and a half, probably have a little more toilet paper in their camp pantry. I'm seeing heads nod. Yeah, because you done ran out. So you might need a little more than normal with what's going on. But know this, do you need a 1 week supply? Do you need a 2 year supply? I mean, there's no point in storing up food and building a bunker and having everything on hand if you don't know how long you're gonna need it. Let's just use some common sense here. Matthew 24, verse 37. Not getting my own opinion in here. Let's just talk about Scripture. When the Son of Man returns, it will be like it was in Noah's day. In those days before the flood, the people were enjoying banquets and parties and weddings right up until the time Noah entered his boat. People didn't realize what was going to happen until the flood came and swept them all away. That's the way it will be when the Son of Man comes. Jesus says in the day he comes, it will be a very ordinary day. They obviously still had party supplies. If they had party supplies, you're probably going to have toilet paper. Verse 42, so you too must keep watch, for you don't know what day your Lord is coming. Which means there's not this worldwide catastrophe that's shaking everybody up that we're all going to run to the churches and get ready. Now, I'm not saying that we won't be aware. Hold on, verse 43, understand this. If a homeowner knew exactly when a burglar was coming, he would keep watch and not permit his house to be broken into. That's not, I'm reading scripture here. Verse 44, you also must be ready all the time, for the Son of Man will come when least expected. Be ready at all times, just know that it will be an ordinary day. Paul gives a warning to the church in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 1. Now concerning how and when all this will happen. Dear brothers and sisters, we don't really need to write you, for you know quite well that the day of the Lord's return will come unexpectedly like a thief in the night. When people are saying everything is peaceful and secure, then disaster will fall on them as suddenly as a pregnant woman's labor pains begin, and there'll be no escape. But you aren't in the dark about these things. See, we know this. We're not in the dark, you Christian people. We're not in the dark. But you won't be surprised when the day of the Lord comes like a thief, for you're children of the light. End of the day, we don't belong to darkness and night, so be on your guard, not asleep like everybody else. Stay alert, be clear-headed. Night is the time when people sleep and drinkers get drunk. But let us who live in the light be clear-headed, protected by the armor of faith and love, and wearing our helmet, the confidence of our salvation. Now, verse 1 here, Paul had taught them earlier that the church is raptured. This is in the previous chapter. Verse 3, Bible says these end time things are like childbirth pains. The contractions are sporadic and then they get more intense and they get more even and quicker and quicker. It's a word picture of Christ's return. And as Christians, can you not see that? Sure, I've not got my head in the sand. But it will also be, the Bible says, like an ordinary day. He's saying in verse 4 through 8, don't get caught up in the partying that grips the world. The world's caught up on partying for everything. I've never seen more parties than I've... There is a party, there's reveal parties, you just name it, there's thousands upon... Now, I'm not here to put down parties. I'm just saying, are we not seeing parties at an all-time high? No one partied after a hurricane. Hey, let's all get together. There was a hurricane. That was fun. No one partied it right after 9/11. Hey, we're having a 9/11 party. I want everybody to come over. We're going to have a big party. Well, Pastor, why are you even talking about that? Because we have this idea that this world catastrophe is going to happen and then Jesus is going to come. That's not going to happen because nobody parties, but there's being parties going on when Jesus comes. Just something to think about. I'm not here to put down a party. I'm just saying there's disasters all the time when we're not having parties over there. We know what's coming. There's a righteous celebration. But for the wicked, it's horrible. The day that Jesus comes will not be after a big mourning or we wouldn't be able to party. I'm just teaching. We're looking forward to God's deliverance. And I keep my helmet on, and I look forward to Jesus' coming because I know there's a celebration coming. Yeah. I've got my helmet on, and I'm not getting hit by the things that I'm watching going on in this world. Right. It's not hitting me. It's not. You can only do that when you're wearing your helmet of salvation, when you got it on. And I believe that Jesus is coming before the wrath of God is poured out on this planet. I'll just go on record and say that. But if not, here's what I can tell you. God's people will have an ark to run into. Yeah. Well, what about, who's building the ark? I don't know. If we don't have that, he'll have a way of escape lined out for us. Yeah. Here's where we all go. I'll just throw this out. If it happens in Galena, Clever, or Hurley, or maybe even Marionville, Nixa, Ozark, here, get here. I want to be around God's people. I know that we got a bunch of righteous people here, and if this needs to turn into the ark, then that's what it'll be. But God's going to make a way of escape. Now, was that prophetic? No. I'm just telling you, he'll make a way of escape. Maybe it was prophetic. Who knows? What I'm telling you is God made a way for you. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, let's continue on to verse 9. For God chose to save us through our Lord Jesus Christ, not to pour out his anger on us. Christ died for us so that whether we are dead or alive when he returns, we can live with him forever. So encourage each other and build each other up just as you're already doing. Church, God is not pouring his anger out on us. Come on, this ought to be peace for somebody. Because this world isn't teaching this. Verse 11, encourage each other, build each other up, comfort each other, it says in one translation. The world, church, I just want you to know, is going to be blown up by nuclear bombs. Isn't that encouraging? It's totally for a Christian to say that against Scripture. Because it says very clearly right there in 1 Thessalonians, so encourage each other and build each other up. And if you're sitting here scaring the daylights out of people, that's not encouraging. The earth is going to be hit by an asteroid. Oh, that's so encouraging. No, it's horrible. What's that do for young people? So what do you do? If our posture is to prepare the world for this major catastrophe, then God ought to be giving us detailed instructions on how to prepare, but he didn't. I know this may rub some people wrong, but you can't deny Scripture. And he did not give this detailed plan of what you ought to be doing as the end's drawing nigh, the way that we're hearing it. There is detailed instruction. Matthew 24, 14. The good news about the kingdom will be preached throughout the whole world, and so that all nations will hear it, and then the end will come. Stay hooked up and preach the gospel. Stay hooked up and preach the gospel. People keep preaching and talking about Jesus. Stay hooked up, preach the gospel. Luke chapter 19, Jesus is using this as a parable to teach the church how they're to behave before his coming. So we need to know how to behave. In Luke chapter 19, verse 10, Jesus says, "For the Son of Man is coming to seek and to save that which was lost." And as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable, because he was nigh to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into the far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. Who's he talking about? Himself. A certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return, and he called his 10 servants and delivered from them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. Occupy, we got to talk about this. Occupy till I come. This changed my whole philosophy on what I had received as a kid. Occupy till I come. There's a Greek word that you need to know here. That Greek word is called pragmatomai. Pragmatomai, I practiced it. It's as good hillbilly as I can do. Pragmatomai, occupy. Pragmatomai. What does that mean? It's a word that we actually know or have heard, but we may never have heard defined. It means pragmatic. Well, what's pragmatic mean? I'm glad you asked. It means down to earth, matter of fact, practical, realistic. Do business as usual. Stay practical. Don't get weird. Occupy till I come. Do business and keep on keeping on. Well, should I plan for my future? You will if you're going to be pragmatic. And the Bible says that you're to occupy till I come. Well, what we shouldn't save any money. We should give everything away. You have misinterpreted Scripture. See, live our lives as Christians spiritually like Christ is going to return right this second. But in the natural, we're to live pragmatic. See, we're to plan for our future physically, financially, with your estate planning. I'm going to plan like he's not coming back in my lifetime. And I'm not doing that different. I'm going to, because the Bible says in Luke 19, occupy till I come. Be pragmatic. Take care of everything and do business as usual. That's what Christians should be doing. Take care of your estate. Take care of your plans. Save. Do the right thing with your money. Pay your tithes. Give your offerings. Do the things that God has called you to do, and you operate according to his commands for our life. But do business as usual. Life goes on. But our security is in Christ, and God will direct us, and we are to live pragmatically concerning our future. So many hate this message. They do. Because they don't want Jesus to come until they get married, or until they experience some of the joys that time allows. Or they're thinking, I want Jesus to come back right now because this world is horrible and I don't want anything to do with it. We've got Christians getting in these ditches. And we need to know we need to live life pragmatically in the natural. But in the supernatural, we live like he's coming the second. Yeah. I'm ready. I'm ready. Oh, but I don't want Jesus to come. I just don't know. Let me just tell you, when you get to heaven, it's better than anything that this world. That's hard for me to communicate because life can be really good here. But you can't touch here what's going to be in heaven. There's some good things in this life. Well, Pastor, this sounds like escape theology. It is. Welcome to Christianity. You get to escape the judgment of God. You get to escape. Jesus said, watch and pray so you are worthy to escape. It is escape theology. Some people would say churches that teach this are no earthly good. Tell that to people around here. Obviously, we're earthly good here. We're making a difference in this earth. Churches that believe in the soon coming of Christ and thinking right is very important. We have to think right. But know this, God separates his judgment. And the way it's separated is on the righteous and the wicked. My question today is, which one are you? Well, I'm the righteous. Praise God. Then quit acting like you're going to get judged with the wicked. Because you're not. It's not your judgment. Your judgment is the righteousness of God. That is the escape that you have available to you. So don't post any more doom and gloom on Facebook. Who can you believe what's happening? I've not got my head in the sand. I'm very aware of what's happening in the world. What I'm telling you is you ought to get saved because the judgment of God's coming and the birth pains are getting more and more. And I'm telling you, Jesus is getting ready to come back and get his bride. He's getting ready to come back. Praise God, that's a good thing, not a bad. Oh, but wait, I just don't want that to happen right now. I get that. And he held off for me to have grandkids and he may hold off for you. And that's fine. But don't get so caught up on not wanting him to come that you ignore the Bible. And the Bible's very clear. And I know that he gave you life now and life abundant. So it's a good life now. And we occupy till he comes. Did anybody, this help anybody today? I just didn't get this finished last week and I felt like that I needed to spend a little more time here because I want you to know we serve a great God and he loves us. And he cares about you. And he wants the best for you and for your life.
We're so glad you joined us. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit cmchurch.net.